When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome to another episode of the Just Blog Baby podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Park, and joining me as always is the editor-in-chief of Just Blog Baby, Nick Jeltness, and our resident Twitter guru, Ryan Lopes. Fellas, how have you been doing? We had a long layoff.
Yeah, we got a long layoff, like you said. Been a few weeks since we recorded. Myself, though, your boy is on the injury report. I'm battling a viral infection. I was questionable for the podcast.
Oh, no. But,
you know, I showed up here. I'm playing through it, you know.
I can dig it, man. Yeah, I'm over here dodging viral infections, man. I'm coming down a little bit of something, but yeah, I get the text from Nick. I get the text from Dylan. So here we are.
Cool, cool. I mean, I'm over here directing rap videos, so I got no complaints. All right, before we get rolling, let's start with a question from Twitter. Nick, you're being called out by one of our staff writers.
Uh-oh.
Gagan? Is that his name?
Yeah, Gagan.
Gagan? That's actually a tight name. But anyways, he wants to know why you continually make him out to be the Just Blog Baby villain.
You know what? I didn't choose him to be the JBB villain. The people chose him. So let's just get that clear. When you put articles out there, you know, why the team should end the Alden Smith experiment, people are going to be upset. You know, just comes with the territory. So I think he's embraced the villain role nicely. He's got, I think, a couple more in the works.
We still have followers that want Alden Smith on the team?
Probably like 90% of them.
Really?
No, most people want to keep him. It goes that way. When he's on your favorite team, you want to keep him. But like, if he was a Niner still, like, everyone would say ban him from the league forever. But, you know, he's on our team and we want him.
We gave dude a chance. Dude is a bum. Let's move on. Anyways, I almost said Reggie Miller. It's been a while, guys.
Been that long layoff, bro.
We are rusty.
Reggie McKenzie is going to have quite a bit to do this offseason. One of the first things on the list will be deciding which players under contract should be cut. Let's take a look at Oakland's potential cap casualties and try to predict who stays and who goes. We'll start with the most obvious potential cap casualty. That's Sean Smith. Over the Cap says that there would be a $4.25 million in dead money and $5.25 million in savings if he's cut. SportTrack says the full $9 million would be saved with no dead money. Either way, Nick, what do you think happens with Sean Smith?
I think to the dismay of most of Raider Nation, Sean's going to be back probably regardless of what that dead money hit actually is. I saw something that if he's cut before the third league day, then the dead money doesn't take effect, and then I've seen it the opposite way too. So it's kind of up in the air there, but again, regardless, I think Sean's going to come back. I feel like Marcus Robinson was chosen as the scapegoat, and they'll give Sean another chance in 2017. Perhaps, if anything, maybe just a contract restructure, but I fully expect him to be back next season.
Ryan, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen with Sean Smith?
Yeah, man. Everyone knows that I hate our secondary, man. So, regardless, I have to agree with Nick. I think Marcus Robertson probably took the bullet for Sean and David Emerson and everyone else on this one. But I think Reggie's going to give him kind of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, you know, give him another season to kind of, I guess, get acclimated or something like that, man. It's kind of frustrating looking for the right, I guess we call it excuse, knowing the kind of money and stuff that they were handed. But, you know, given that, regardless, it looks like, you know, to the dismay of many, as Nick alluded to, I imagine Sean Smith will be back.
Yeah, maybe with Pagano coming back or being on the staff now, someone that has done pretty well with secondaries in the past. You know, I think maybe that's another reason why they'll keep him around. And the fact remains too that that he was just completely misused all season. So perhaps if they can figure out how to use him right, which is in press coverage, you know, he won't be so awful next year. We'll see. So yeah, a few reasons why I think he'll definitely be back.
Next up is Sean Smith's DB buddy, David Amerson. The Raiders would save $7 million with $1.5 in dead money if he gets let go. Ryan, you were pretty critical on Amerson most of the season. What happens with him?
I think it's unfortunately more of the same. I mean, Reggie obviously showed a good bit of faith and ponied up and handed him a decent bit of cash. So Reggie's been quick to kind of correct mistakes before and kind of move on. This one feels a bit different. I think McKenzie might have a bit of a hard time evaluating cornerbacks. Like, I mean, I guess maybe we'll kind of get into that down the road here as we talk about draft and position groups and stuff like that. But I think for better or for worse, again, I'm not saying that his eggs are in one basket, but I imagine maybe it might be hard for Reggie to kind of, after the whole DJ Hayden thing and then seeing how the Sean Smith thing is going, I mean, it might be hard to kind of take all these L's at once. So I imagine, again, for better or for worse, Amerson gets another shot at this thing. I mean, hopefully at least there's some help coming either in free agency or the draft where you can at least slot someone that's ready to kind of maybe jump in at some point behind either Smith or Amerson this season.
All right, let's move back a spot in the secondary. Safety position, Reggie Nelson. He was a Pro Bowler, but he had an up and down season. The Raiders would save $6 million by letting him go. No dead money. Nick, what do you think happens with old man Nelson?
I think we're going to go 3 for 3 here in terms of these guys staying on board. I don't think Reggie's going anywhere. I mean, the safety class isn't that strong. There's maybe 3 or 4 names that stand out, so I'm not sure that, you know, the safety of the future alongside Carl Joseph is going to be found here. Plus, Reggie was elected a team captain, so I think maybe the team and the coaching staff sees more value in him than, you know, what is on the field, you know, with his leadership and, you know, being a mentor to Carl Joseph and whatnot. So, yeah, I think Reggie comes back too.
Ryan, the Raiders taking Reggie out to pasture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna actually go ahead and disagree with Nick a little bit here. I rather like this incoming safety class. I think there's about 3, 4, 5 names you can maybe peg to Oakland in the first few rounds, all of which would, in my opinion, be an immediate upgrade over Reggie Nelson. You know, I kind of, again, have been outspoken against Reggie Nelson. Yeah, he's got the interception numbers, and the dudes in my mentions constantly remind me of the interception numbers, the Pro Bowl appearance and stuff like that. I will say that I do agree with Nick. I think he does bring that, you know, that cliche veteran presence, and I imagine he's probably well-liked, you know, in the locker room and all that good stuff. That's probably about all he's got going for him right now at this point in his career. He's playing like his age, and you really can't fault him for that. I mean, it was maybe lofty. We had some lofty expectations thinking he was going to look like, you know, Cincinnati Reggie. So I do think that Reggie Nelson is going to get replaced. Again, keeping Amerson, keeping Smith, but I do see the Raiders moving on from Reggie this offseason.
On the defensive line, big Dan Williams disappointed in 2016. The Raiders would save $4.5 million if they cut him. No dead money. Ryan, what's happening with Big Fat Dan?
That's just the thing, man. There was a lot of there was a lot of talk about Big Dan coming into camp. You know, obviously a little bit overweight, out of shape, whatever the case may be. And for the most part, he looked and played like that throughout the season. Unfortunately for Oakland, they need all the help they can get on the defensive line, especially up the middle. With that said, much like Nelson, I could see Dan Williams easily being shown the door, especially if, you know, McKenzie opts to, you know, address the defensive line early, you know, in the draft, or if there's a name in free agency that might tickle his fancy, so to speak.
Yeah, Nick, what do you think?
No, I definitely agree pretty much on all counts there. I think Dan is going to be the most notable cut that the Raiders make this offseason. You know, like Ryan said, he showed up to camp out of shape, and he basically played like that all season, which is a far cry of where he was the season before that, where he was, you know, probably the second best defender on the team the year before that, and he just had such a huge drop off last year. And then you got to consider too the other guys that are in the mix: Stacey McGee, Darius Latham, Mario Edwards Jr. is going to be in the mix there, Justin Ellis. So, you know, the Raiders have some guys to where, you know, if Dana is showing the door, I don't think they're really missing that much. And $4.5 million is a nice chunk of change. So I think he'll be showing the door.
Along with Sean Smith, Austin Howard might be the player that most of the fan base wants to see let go. But there's a $2.8 million dead money hit if they cut him this season. $3.6 million in savings. So it's almost a wash. Nick, what do you think happens with Austin Howard?
I think, unfortunately, he is going to be back next season as well. That dead money hit, it's just, it's too much, I think, to take on for McKenzie. Especially with Menelik Watson being a free agent, I think probably what's going to happen here is they let Menelik walk, bring back Howard. You know, it's basically the way that makes the most financial sense to go about this. Hopefully that doesn't mean Austin Howard's going to be the starting right tackle next season. You know, maybe one of the young guys like Alexander can, you know, perhaps take over the reins, or, you know, find someone in free agency or the draft that can handle it. But, you know, regardless, I think Howard is going to be back at the very least as the backup right tackle.
Ryan, what do you got on Austin Howard?
Yeah, I think Nick and I might have went back and forth on the timeline a month or so ago about Austin Howard's fate. You know, shortly after the season ended, there was a report that surfaced. Actually, it might have been Austin Howard himself tweeting a picture of him in a sling. You know, so I guess the report was that he played injured for a majority of the season. I don't know, you know, a dozen games or more, whatever the number was. So again, going back to someone like Sean Smith, given the benefit of the doubt, I could see kind of a similar stance being taken on someone like Austin Howard. Obviously, playing through an injury for a majority of the season, stuff like that, you know, is regarded really highly amongst, you know, his peers, his teammates, whatever the case may be. And again, I always go back to what Raiders analysis, our good buddy Teddy said. Austin Howard, by all accounts, is a serviceable right tackle. It's just, you know, it just so happens he's playing in the AFC West. Obviously, things aren't getting easier, but you know, again, I do agree with Nick. I think Menelik Watson is probably showing the door. Austin Howard's kept on board. Not to say that he's the starter, but I imagine that he probably is the name that they're going to keep around and try to maybe see if they can get another healthy run out of him.
Speaking of right tackles, we've got a question from Twitter. Twitter follower at DonaldDay0129 wants to know if Rick Wagner from the Ravens will be high on Reggie's free agent list. Nick, what do you know about this one?
I don't think Wagner, he's a quality young player, nice right tackle. I just don't think he'll be all that high on the free agent priority list. We actually, if anyone wants to know a little bit more about Wagner, we have an article up on the site by one of our writers, Gil Herme Abrante, so it's pretty good. But with that being said, I think four of the five starters already being free agents on the offensive line. I don't see them continuing to invest even more money in free agency on the offensive line. If anything, I think it's going to be the draft where we look for the right tackle of the future. So probably going to be a pass on this one.
Now, we know that Reggie pinches those pennies. The Raiders have several more players on smaller contracts that could be in jeopardy of losing a roster spot. We got guys like Tywan Jones, Keith McGill, Ben Heaney, Ball specifically. There's no dead money hits on Tywan and small dead money hits on the others. All minimal savings. But out of those four, who stays and who goes? Ryan, you start.
I think Tywan is still, you know, a standout on special teams. I know he was regarded as one of the best gunners, if not the best gunners, you know, across the league. I don't think that's changed too much, so I imagine he gets some special team coin coming his way, wherever the case may be. Keith McGill's bad, man. He's been bad. It was a reach in the fourth round whenever we drafted him a couple years ago. Nothing's changed. I imagine Oakland moves on from him. Ben Heaney, I'm very curious to see what happens with Ben Heaney, man. I mean, for us, the fans, I guess it's really easy to say that this dude obviously was a bit of a bum. I mean, he didn't look too hot when he had kind of the opportunity to kind of jump on the starting role, unfortunately. So I think for most of us to be a cut, I wouldn't be surprised, just knowing that Reggie, you know, needs the depth. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Ben Heaney is back. And Ball, I know Ball's more or less a fan favorite, kind of showed some flashes, just unfortunately for him, hasn't been able to stay healthy. So again, for the fans, a majority of us, I guess I would imagine most of them want to see Ball back, Heaney walk, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's vice versa.
Yeah, it's tough out of that group of four. I've kind of gone back and forth myself trying to think about, you know, who's going to stay and who's going to go out of that group. Taiwan, I think a lot of fans are kind of over him, but at the same time, a lot of fans really overlook special teams contributions, which is where Taiwan definitely excels. So I can definitely see him being brought back. He only has, I believe, a $1.15 million salary. So even if they do cut him, that's not a ton of savings. They probably value what he brings to the table more than that. So I think he'll probably will be back. Keith McGill, yeah, he's awful. He's a bad safety, but he turned out to be pretty good on special teams as well. And he's going to be entering the final year of his contract anyway. So they might just keep him around, let him ride out that final year. That way they don't take on any dead money hits and then let him walk after the year. Heaney, like Ryan said, that's the one I'm most curious about, just because I really don't think there's any use for him. He's awful linebacker and he really didn't contribute very much on special teams. I would just cut bait and the experiment there. And Neron Ball, probably the same thing. I mean, he flashed for a couple of games and, you know, the season before last, but just can't stay healthy. You know, if you can't stay healthy, you can't stay on the field, you know, that roster spot probably going to go to someone else. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe Taiwan and McGill come back, maybe cut the linebackers and try to retool that whole position.
We've got a Twitter mailbag question about linebackers here. TPO Jabroni 80 wants to know.
username.
Yeah, it's a great username, actually. But Jabroni wants to know if this is the year that we finally find a linebacker that can cover tight ends, either in free agency or the draft, maybe. Nick, what do you think?
I hope so, man. I can't handle another year of just letting the CJ Fedora, which is of the world, just go off on us. I can't do it. But you know, with that being said, I don't really see many studs in coverage from the draft class. It's hard to find that. And I don't think free agency is going to provide a solution either. So unless someone like Corey James can step up, or if McKenzie can find a gem in a mid or late round, you know, it might be another season where, you know, where we get killed by tight ends. So
Jayon Brown, man. Yeah, UCLA.
There you
go.
That's
the boy.
Pick him up.
What round is he going?
Oof. I mean, I kind of like him. I kind of like him as early as maybe the fourth or fifth. Shout out to the homie Jim Coburn, man. Always digging for the gems and passing along the good word.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to have Coburn on at some point. But yeah, like someone like that, you know, I'm all for us drafting maybe two or even three linebackers. I mean, we probably need one on the outside or even two and another one on the inside. So, got to throw a couple darts at the dartboard and hope mm-hmm. something, hoping six, basically.
All right. Let's just talk about the elephant in the room here. I don't ever want to hear this dude's name ever again. Aldon Smith.
Yuck, huh?
In trouble again.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, do you think this incident affects his pending reinstatement? I mean, of course it does. But Ryan, what happens?
So the charges, the latest charges against Aldon Smith, for those who don't know or choose not to read into that sort of stuff, are domestic violence related. Again, I haven't personally seen the details. I know the last tweet I saw was a few days ago where they said investigation was ongoing. Alden and the female acquaintance or whoever she is, everyone's cooperating. So I will say a couple things. First of all, obviously I want Aldon Smith on the roster. I want him to succeed. But at the same time, kind of like Dylan was alluding to and other fans who I'm sure have voiced the same opinion at this point, you know, enough's enough. You know, to me, I'm kind of just numb to it all. You know, if he's here, great. If he's not, it really doesn't matter to me either way. And the only other thing I do want to add to that is that if these charges, you know, are, if they really are domestic violence related, or they stick in any manner, you know, way, shape, or form, whatever the case may be, there's no question. Obviously, he's done in Oakland. Plenty of us have talked about consistently. You know, obviously, Mark Davis's stand on domestic violence. The Raiders are one of the very few teams, which is kind of sad to say. The Raiders are one of the few teams that truly stick by, you know, that DV policy and have a complete zero tolerance policy on it. So, if those charges do come up, and they stick, and Alden's found, guilty, whatever the case may be, his time in Oakland is definitely done.
Let's say he gets reinstated, though. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say he does. What is Alden's standing with the team? I mean, like Ryan just alluded to, it's probably finished. There's a $1.75 million dollars. Like, I guess there's $1.75 million in savings. No dead money. Nick, is it time to end the Alden experiment, or should the Raiders see it through?
I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air on this one, at least myself, as to what I would do or what I would want. I mean, I think it really depends probably what happens with this investigation. I think a lot of times these stories come out and everyone's pretty quick to judge these days. It's kind of guilty before proven innocent, especially when you got a reputation like Alden does. But it's probably fair just to, you know, let the facts play out, I guess, if you will, see what really happens here. If it's nothing that's too serious, if it's maybe just an argument that escalated, as long as there wasn't, you know, anything physical that happened there, I could definitely see the Raiders probably just seeing this one through to the end, seeing that investment through. I mean, they've waited this long. He hasn't played since November of 2015, and he really hasn't been in too much trouble since he signed here. He had the Periscope video allegedly. Yeah, we got to throw that out there, and then this. So he's really more so just dealing with repercussions from the past. So I could see the team seeing this one through to the end.
It's been a few weeks since we recorded an episode, and the last time we talked, or since the last time we've talked, Vic from the SF Chronicle said that he doesn't expect the Raiders to bring back Latavius Murray, and other reports have kind of supported that. So Ryan's probably jumping for joy over there. Ryan, what do you think happens now?
Get him out of here, man. Get him out of here. Listen, Murray, for as harsh as I've been, obviously, you know, I've said it a couple times during the season, he looked like an improved back for whatever that's worth. But at the end of the day, again, you're not paying, for me, you're not paying a back of his caliber. Again, I fully expect him to cash in some DeMarco Murray, Doug Martin type money. And that's just way too much money, in my opinion, for kind of what he brings to the table. So yeah, for me, man, I'm excited to see McKenzie kind of weighing his options and you know, whether it's the draft or free agency. And again, today, you know, obviously we got the news of two household type names being let free. So I'm sure, you know, Raiders Twitter and the timeline in general is a buzz. So it should be an interesting offseason in that regard.
I mean, I like Latavius. I'm on record as saying that. I don't think he's a fantastic back by any means, but I think most are overly critical of him. With that being said, if he does get Lamar Miller money or Doug Martin money from a bad team, especially, I think is what's probably going to happen here. I mean, I'm not touching that. If it's 4 years, $28 million with half of it guaranteed or something like that, that would put him, you know, in the top 10 or top 7 or maybe even higher than that. I don't think McKenzie is even, you know, getting in that same ballpark. So I think Latavius is done as a Raider, because I do think he's going to get a handsome contract from someone out there. I mean, the free agent class is flat out awful, and he's going to be by far the best back in there. You know, Le'Veon Bell was standing, who, you know, isn't going to get out of Pittsburgh. So yeah, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, I think they just hit Le'Veon with the franchise tag, right?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, so yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So let's take another question from Twitter. FCali002 wants to know if possible free agent swap of Latavius for Eddie Lacy is a good idea, And if DeSean Jackson coming back to the Bay to play for the Raiders with Derek Carr on a cheaper deal might work. Ryan, you can take this one.
Man, Eddie, fat Eddie, man. I mean, it's been he looked like a top 5 or 10 back early on in Green Bay, and then we've all seen the photos of him kind of as the off seasons have kind of progressed and stuff like that. And I know one of my favorite moments on Twitter was dudes that were digging up his old like Chinese food type tweets from back in the day.
They kept
putting those up on the timeline on Sundays, man. But yeah, I think my man Eddie has a bit of an eating problem or whatever the case may be. I know he was big on the P90X last offseason. Looked like he was doing okay. I know a lot of fans, man, they want the quote unquote power back, they want the big back or whatever. For me, I'm passing on Eddie Lacy. I think we could find that option in the draft at some point. And then in regards to DeSean Jackson would easily be one of my favorite free agents and at the way top of my list. All the rumors and kind of, you know, musings that I've heard right now, I think he's almost, I won't say a lock to Tampa Bay, but I kind of, in my opinion, I think that's where he's going to end up. I'm not so sure it's about the money for DeSean. I imagine he's still going to get paid, but I just think that he's got a little connect with Jameis and Mike Evans down there. Not to say that he's going to completely shun or shut the door to Oakland. I'd just be curious if McKenzie pursues him again, or if he ever pursued him to begin with, you know.
So just real quick on Fat Eddie, can you guys imagine if this dude was living here, how big he would get? I mean, think about how much good food is in Oakland, San Francisco, oh, yeah, the Bay Area in general. We saw what happened to that one certain quarterback that got almost to 300 pounds. It's gonna
Joe
be
Walrus.
It's gonna be no different. Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be not much different for Eddie if he.
I mean, to be fair, they only eat cheese in fucking Wisconsin, so you know what I mean. Dude's sitting around eating.
Boy, gotta come out here get some salad or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, get some kale. Those white girls will hook him up.
Quinoa or something.
That's SoCal. He's gotta go to the Rams for that.
The acai bowls or whatever they're called.
There you go. There you go. You get some of that in his life.
Exactly. Yeah. Looking at this,
those are good.
Let's take a look at this free agent class. There's a ton of running backs. You guys see McKenzie potentially looking at. Nick, who do you think the Raiders got?
Nick, you gotta talk about the Peterson and Jamal Charles news today, man.
Yeah, so for free agency, I really don't see much happening here. Before today's news, I think LeGarrette Blount and Isaiah Crowell were probably the two names to look out for, but even them, I just don't see happening. Yeah, the big news here is gonna be Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, who are both going to be free agents. And I put out a little poll, or not necessarily a poll, just a question like a yay or nay. Do you want to see Adrian Peterson as a Raider? And it's a legit 50-50 split.
Wow.
So yeah, wanted to get your guys' 2 cents on that. And then I'll throw in my 2 cents at the end. So Ryan, what do you think? AP?
Yes, yeah, no? I've been kind of going back and forth all day ever since the news broke, man. I was sitting at my desk at the office, man, fucking drinking tea and getting these 140s off. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to me how many people legitimately dislike, you know, Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles for that instance. Again, for me, I'm not advocating that Reggie go out of his way to sign either of them. I just think if the money is right, and for me, right is somewhere, you know, just a 1 year prove it type deal, minimal money, you know, whatever that number may be, nothing extravagant. But I think if you get either one on a 1 year deal, for me, I'm leaning towards Jamal Charles more so than Adrian Peterson. But I think you get either of these kids on a 1 year, not kids, I mean, well, both of them are 30 plus at this point, but you get either of these dudes on a 1 year type prove a deal. It could be interesting, you know, especially if, you know, McKenzie doesn't opt to, you know, kind of answer the question in the draft. So again, I don't want to see either of them sign, but I think a lot of folks out there are kind of getting a little bit silly with, you know, kind of the overreaction or the stay away, you know, whatever the case may be.
So for me, well, oh, go ahead, Dylan.
No, I was just going to say, I think Adrian Peterson's automatically disqualified because of those domestic violence issues. Was it a couple seasons ago?
With this kid or something.
Yeah, right? I was beating the shit out of his kid with a stick. So, I mean,
something like that, right?
I don't know if, yeah, so I guess he's done. But, I mean, I watched Adrian Peterson last season. Dude looked like he was 49 years old. You know what I mean? He was running in reverse, bro. Like, I mean, I could have probably strapped up the pads and probably gained a few more yards than that dude. And Jamaal Charles, man, you know, he's been having a tough time with the injuries, but that also means he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. So again, if one of these dudes, you know, hypothetically was to sign with the Raiders, I'd have to lean on Jamaal. And plus, it would just be nice to see that dude rip out the Chiefs' hearts a couple times a year. You know, me and Nick were saying, like, if that dude had two carries and they were both touchdowns against the Chiefs, it would be worth it.
Yeah, that's 100% worth it.
So, yeah, I mean, and I, you know, we've all watched Jamaal Charles ruin our lives. So it would be nice to have that guy maybe on our sideline. But again, I don't really see I don't see either of those guys in a Raiders uniform.
I think the question is, a lot of people are, well, first, a lot of people are saying, why sign, you know, a washed up back above his 30s for either one of these guys when we've got DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, and we can focus on the draft. And while that is, you know, true, the thing is, the question the Raiders have to ask themselves is if either of these guys can put you over the top in a win now window, you know, is it worth signing them? In a perfect world, I would love to sign AP. My dad's side of the family grew up Vikings fan, so, you know, I've always got a soft spot for that team. So, you know, I'm a big Adrian fan myself. But a couple things to consider. Last year, he averaged 1.9 yards per carry. I mean, he was bad, and he only played three games before getting hurt again. And the Vikings were trying to run a little bit more out of shotgun, and he's just not comfortable with it, not good with it, and that's something that, you know, of course, we know the Raiders love to run. So I don't see him being a good fit here. Jamaal Charles, though, you know, I could see some appeal there, but kind of the same thing. I mean, he's played 8 games in the last 2 seasons. That injury history starting to pile up. He's got, what, 2 bad knees, right? Didn't he turn ACL in each knee by now?
I think it was each knee. I think he's had, like, 3 ACL tears or something like that.
Good God, man.
So, yeah, both guys, it's going to be a pass for me, you know, for a multitude of reasons, recent injury history being a big factor in that. And then also, AP especially, I don't think he's going to come cheap. I think he's a guy that's probably going to get a 2-year deal somewhere, as crazy as that may be for pretty good money.
Completely agree.
And Jamaal Charles, I would love to sign just for the fact that it would piss Chiefs fans off more than anything. that would be the one reason why I would enjoy that.
Shout out Sully Football, man.
Yeah. Whatever happened to homeboy? Oh, fuck, man. I'm having a brain fart. Our old safety that signed with the Chiefs. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, Tyvon Branch. Yeah.
Is he out of the league? Yeah. Is he still playing?
I think he's still there, man. Is he still in Kansas City?
Yo, Tyvon was the truth for a couple of years.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was good in Oakland for a bit, but we were paying him like
he's
way too much.
He's been with the Cardinals, I think, last year.
Oh, really? Oh,
damn. Okay, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Where he was. Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
He was on some team that might have had red uniforms. We're not.
The Cardinals fit the description.
Okay.
They fit the description.
All right. On McKenzie's list, on McKenzie's to-do list, signing Derek Carr to a contract extension. What kind of payday can we expect to see for our franchise quarterback? You got some numbers and figures for me, Nick?
It's going to be a blank check, basically, is what it's going to be, and that is perfectly okay.
All the money.
Yeah, just whatever. Just hand it to him, or whatever he wants to write on there is fine. I'll start the GoFundMe. I got some cash in my wallet.
But you know the crazy thing is, like, if you said, hey, Derek, take any amount of money you want to take, a dude would probably be like, you know what, let me just take the bare minimum, you know? I'm a man of God. Let's donate the rest, and I wanna take care of my teammates. I don't know why I'm making Derek Carr sound like that.
Yeah,
but
why does he sound like that?
For real though, this dude Joel Corey, man, ex agent, works for CBS and shit like that. He tweeted out today that his thinking is that the baseline for whenever Derek's, you know, got that contract coming his way, he said, I'd call Andrew Luck 24.594 million per year with 87 million in guarantees, 47 million fully guaranteed, Derek Carr's starting point. So I think whenever Carr does get that check slid his way, it's going to be right around that Andrew Luck type realm.
Yeah, I'm hoping for one that it's 6 years instead of five. I want to get that extra year on there. And yeah, I do think it's going to be right around that $24 million range annually. I'm thinking maybe like 6 years, let's call it $140 million. The guarantees and the signing bonuses is really what I'm intrigued by. I think as Ryan just said, Andrew Luck got $32 million signing bonus, and they say $87 million if it is guaranteed. And just absurd. And then I want to see if the signing bonus is spread out over a few years or if it's just going to be paid out in year one, because that's going to, you know, be a large factor in determining how much the Raiders have to spend this offseason. So it's going to be a sticker shock once that those numbers start to come out and that contract gets done.
Yeah, well, yo, Carr was on Mad Dog Radio today, Sirius XM, talking to Adam Shine, I believe his last name is, man. Sheen, is that Sheen?
Yeah.
Guess Sheen had asked him about, you know, the pending contract and all that, and he said that's going to be up. Derek said that's going to be up to Reggie McKenzie and my agent. They know how I feel. I'm a Raider for life.
Yes.
So I imagine that got the timeline. You know, all. You know, got the pom poms out and shit. So that's definitely dope to hear, though.
Now, this is something that really hasn't been addressed, maybe at all this offseason. I really haven't seen it on the timeline. And I apologize in advance, Derek Carr, because he would hate for me to say this, but Jesus fucking Christ, can we sign a backup quarterback? You know what I mean? Because what happened last season, knock on wood, God forbid. You know, I'm going to pray every night. I'm going to go back to church this year. But, no, I'm not even playing, though.
wearing your Derek Carr jersey.
Oh, dude. God forbid anything like that ever happens again. I don't want to see those two bums that were our backups in a Raiders uniform. Like,
I'm not down.
But who was out there? You know what I mean? Like, who could the Raiders potentially target? Are we looking at the draft again? Or what's up?
I don't even know if there's any veteran quarterbacks out there that I think we could pursue. I mean, I think it's probably going to be Connor Cook's job, for better or for worse.
Oh, yes. God. Hopefully
for worse. So that's my take. I think that's what we're rolling with. Probably even just two QBs. I don't even know if we're going to roster three QBs.
Nah, let's just, you know what? Let's just ride the wave with Derek. We only need one QB.
Yeah. Send
Let's
him get, out there.
Let's
I'm
go.
More comfortable sending Derek Carr out there in crutches than I am Connor Cook.
Dude, that was so bad. That was so bad, bro. All right,
let's move on.
Let's move on. Another question from Twitter. A friend of the podcast, James, Raiders reporter, asks if the Raiders will sign every free agent and still have enough money to re-sign Carr, Mac, plus buy dinner for Mark at PF Chang's. I sense a little sarcasm from James, but Nick, what do you got?
You know what? That's funny. That's kind of a joke, I think, that him and I have gone back and forth about. Like, you scan Raiders Twitter for 5 minutes, you know, someone will hit up Google, they'll see that the Raiders got like 40-something million in cap space, and then without even thinking, they just go out there and they tweet, oh, the Raiders got $40 million, we're gonna sign Tony Jefferson, Dante Hightower, AJ Boye, Dontari Poe, DeSean Jackson, and still have money to spare. So that's kind of just a running joke that we've got. But unfortunately, we are going to sign all of those players, and what's going to happen is, to answer James's question, it's going to eat into Mark Davis's PF Chang's budget, and he's going to have to settle for Hooters instead, which I don't think he'll have a problem with.
Bro, Hooters is trash, man. Hooters is so trash.
That's Mark's favorite place. I haven't been to Hooters since like the 2012 National Championship game, college football. It was just so awful.
I went 3 or 4 years ago in San Jose, and it was a high school reunion. Like, all the girls I went to high school were working there, dude. It was so bad. It was, and it's just super awkward. Like, you're at the table, and like, homegirl's like, "Oh, hey, Dylan, how you been?" And she's like hula hooping while she's pouring beers. I'm like, "Oh my god,
bro, dude. Tell me you got the free wing plug, though. You gotta get the free wing plug or something."
Oh, yeah, I got the free wings, dog. I got the free wings. If you know what I'm saying. all right, let's talk about my boy Gabe Jackson. Probably be extended this offseason as well, I'm thinking. Ryan, what kind of deal do you think he commands? And when do you think it gets done?
I don't know, man. You gotta the weirdest shit about the guard market, man, is what our own KO did to it last year. And then my dude in Kansas City, I don't even know this dude was in the league. Don't even know how to say his name. Apparently he's like a doctor to be, but he just got paid buku bucks down in Kansas City. I believe it's their right guard. I mean, y'all can do the Google right now. I don't even know how to say his name, but I bring him up because the guard market is about to be reset again, because there's just a couple free agent guards out there. I believe TJ Lang's at the top of the list. But it's going to be interesting to see, because these guards are going to keep getting paid. You know, KO's $11 million last year was a ton of money, and I imagine it's only going to go up a couple million off of that. So, Gabe, man, looked a little bit rough transitioning last year, but definitely finished strong and is absolutely as valuable to this team as, you know, shit, man. Even a guy like, you know, Derek Carr, Cooper, whatever, he's absolutely a part of that young core. So I'm not sure what the numbers look like, but he's definitely going to get his.
So to add to what Ryan said, when I saw that deal come out, I mean, I knew who he was. I thought he was just kind of a, you know, quality player for that offensive line. I didn't know that he was a 5 years, $42 million kind of player.
Who is he, bro?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fake name. You know,
it's got to be a fake name.
It's, you know, still up to debate. But before that, you know, before that deal was signed, I was thinking Gabe might get maybe $8 million a year, like 4 years, $32 million, or 4 years, $30 million, something like that. Something that puts him, you know, maybe in the top six, top seven of guards. And now that that's been happened, you know, Gabe's going to see that, and Gabe probably saw that deal and was like, "Who is that?"
Yeah,
and texted his agent. So I could see $9 million a year probably for Gabe. You know, 4 years, 5 years, $42 million, something right around that same exact deal that homeboy got. So we'll have to see what happens.
All right, Twitter question time. Captain Kirk 313 asks, if there's a doomsday scenario where Khalil Mack doesn't get a new contract, God damn it, Captain, why would you even ask some?
Gotta skip this question.
You
man.
Know what? You know, that's a trash question.
The doomsday scenario is if an asteroid hits the Earth and we all die before Khalil Mack can get signed.
I
to
mean,
his contract
there's
extension.
There's
this be some weird like fax machine type situation over in Denver
Elvis
a handful Dufour of years ago, man. Right?
Yeah.
God,
like, what the hell?
That was so funny.
Yo, I forgot about that.
How is Khalil not going to get that money here, man?
Dude,
I mean,
I'm telling you, man. There's a bigger chance of us getting nuked by Russia than there. Like, that's really the only way that Khalil
something would have to go terrible.
And even
to be serious, bro, the only shit that could happen, to be completely serious, is if he, for whatever reason, God forbid, got involved in some sort of domestic violence type dispute or whatever.
Nah,
like that.
Not my boy Khalil.
Nah, absolutely not Khalil. But I'm thinking like that is really the only way I can see this team cutting bait with this.
Like
dude,
if he
some shit like that.
If he was at an Alan Smith house party.
Yeah,
if he was partying with Alvin,
hey,
bro. Some
hey,
shit.
Hey, hey, the only girls Khalil Mack is beating up is that Denver Broncos offensive line. Write it down.
We got them jokes.
All right. The Raiders currently have $43 million in cap room, but a lot can happen to lower that amount. Nick, headed into free agency, how much money do you think Raiders will have available?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was getting at earlier when people will see that cap number and just off the jump think that the Raiders got all the spending money. But, you know, when you break it down and start adding things, you know, to that or subtracting, I should say, you know, it doesn't leave a whole lot. A lot of it depends on on a Derek Carr signing bonus and Gabe Jackson, if he gets extended, and how much of that affects the cap year one. But just to make it, you know, an even number, let's say both those guys get extended and $20 million comes off the books in terms of signing bonuses that gets paid out right away. We've got $23 million left now. We've got 18 free agents. Let's say they bring back 10 of those dudes. Most of those are low-dollar contracts, so let's say $1 million per player. That's another $10 million. So we're down to $13 million. Draft is going to take up $5 or $6 million, so we're already down to like $7 or $8 million to spend. A couple things could happen. I mean, Dan Williams gets cut. Reggie Nelson gets cut. Sean Smith gets restructured. The Raiders get a little bit of break in terms of Carr and Gabe Jackson's signing bonuses being spread out a little more. You know, maybe they can end up with 20 or so million if all those things happen. But it's really not going to be like it was last offseason where the Raiders signed, you know, three of the four of the top 10 free agents. You know, nothing like that I think is going to happen. And plus, got to save for Khalil Mack next offseason. I mean, no doomsday scenario. That dude's going to get paid. So not a lot of spending money I don't really see happening.
All right, one more, actually a couple more Twitter questions here. THS Luke wants to know who Oakland's biggest free agent signing will be.
Oof, shit. I mean, there's, again, I completely agree with what Nick's saying. Obviously, we're not going to see, you know, a 2016 type offseason splurge. It's just not realistic. Rarely do teams splurge like that, and rarely do teams go back to back on that kind of spending spree. But if I had to pick one quote unquote big name or one big free agent signing, I think McKenzie tries to make another run at Tony Jefferson, the safety, you know, the Arizona safety, Arizona Cardinal safety. Again, very interested in him last offseason. You know, Cardinals were wise to bring him back, and he absolutely balled out and absolutely worked towards whatever payday is coming at him. So I think he's definitely going to get paid. I hope it's in Oakland. But to Nick's point, the money is going to be a bit tighter this offseason. So, but if I had to pick one big name that's somewhat realistic, that's my guy right there.
All right, another similar question from Twitter. At Mark Lubienski asks who the top three potential free agent signings will be, Nick.
That's tough. I mean, I would love to say Tony Jefferson, just to kind of echo what Ryan just said. I'm not sure how realistic that's going to be. If the Raiders can make some moves to free up some cap space to make that happen, either him or Dont'a Hightower, if they do spend money on one guy, that's going to be $8 million per year or more. You know, I would love for it to be either of those two, but you know, erring on the side of conservativeness here, I think probably Zach Brown comes to mind at linebacker. Definitely a guy that should have been locked up last year. Had a great season in 2016. I would love to bring him on board. Bradley McDougal, the Buck safety. He's just 26. He was a guy that was undrafted a few years ago. Had a strong season. Kind of a low key name. Not a lot of people were talking about. And maybe someone like Kayvon Webster, maybe Broncos third cornerback or fourth cornerback, just to, you know, maybe throw some guys out there that are 25, 26 years old, not really all that highly regarded, but can come here and be probably quality starters and hopefully develop into more in that. I think, you know, in that range is probably the guys that will be signing this offseason.
All right, let's give the people what they want. Let's wrap this episode up with a little bit of draft talk. Ryan, run through some names that you've been keeping an eye on.
Ooh, first round, 24 overall. I got a list of about, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh man, 24, we're not used to picking there. You know, what are we going to do? There's a lot of question marks, a lot of holes to fill. I don't think there's going to be talent there. Man, I got a list of about, you know, a dozen, maybe a few more players that I would be very happy with at
give me five
overall. I'm gonna give you five real quick. I like talked about him a lot. I think I talked about him last time we recorded too. Buda Baker, boom, free safety out of Washington. That's my boy. Malik McDowell, defensive line, Michigan State kid. Jaleel Johnson, more defensive lineman. A couple cornerbacks I really like. Jalen Tease Tabor Florida kid. Sidney Jones going back to Washington. And my favorite option at 24 overall, man, Christian McCaffrey. The running back.
Really?
That's the kid right there, man. I'm telling you guys right now. Y'all know how I was with Ezekiel Elliott last year. I'm not going to be Ezekiel Elliott hype, but, man, I love this kid. And I'm going to talk about him the rest of the offseason. Every time we fucking pod, I'm going to talk about Christian McCaffrey.
Bro, Christian McCaffrey ruined my life a couple times in the past couple years because I'm a USC guy, USC and Arizona State guy. Man, I would love to see him in black and silver. You said his name, and I look like the Antonio Banderas meme where he's sitting at his computer just smiling. That was me right now.
Yeah, McCaffrey's a guy, too, that I'm definitely intrigued by, especially if he's there at 24. He would be hard to pass on, I would say. I'm going to be actually writing about him pretty soon here for JBB. I think as soon as the combine wraps up, that way I can plug in those measurables and stuff, but I'll have a pretty full film thing on him. Just to add a couple other names, or maybe not even add too many names, a couple of those same ones I agree with. Malik McDowell, Sidney Jones are two that I'm quite high on. Caleb Brantley, the defensive tackle over at Florida, is definitely another one. Marlon Humphrey from Bama is another one that I would like to see. He's someone that can play either cornerback or safety. So maybe just add in those couple of names to the mix at 24. That little short list, something like that. I mean, it's a deep class. This class is ridiculously loaded here. So there's probably come draft day, I wouldn't be surprised if, 24 is available. I'm looking at the best available board. If there's 7, 8, 9 players that I'd be like, if they get picked, I'd be like, that was a good pick. I'm cool with it,
Yep.
So, hard to complain right now.
Before I get to this next Twitter question, Ryan, I know you're keeping tabs on the mock drafts. Give me, a couple of trends that you've been seeing for the Raiders at 24 and possibly the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I was going back. I have mock drafts that were going back even before the offseason started. But, as we get closer to obviously the combine this week, the draft coming up, a lot of the notable draft, analysts are kind of, kind of closing in on their picks. So I think we started off initially, it was a cross between a lot of running backs for Oakland, a linebacker of the week, essentially for Oakland, and then obviously cornerbacks. Now, as the combine approaches and stuff like that, I've seen a lot more cornerbacks. It's the same names that we kind of discuss. It's Sidney Jones, Tabor, whoever's kind of fallen to 24. We've seen a lot of talk about, this kid, Hassan Reddick from Temple. He's been a name that's popped up a lot for the Raiders, a kid that has played with his hand in the dirt, but probably is more suited just for a traditional, outside linebacker type role. So I think between a player like him, Reddick at a Temple, and then probably cornerbacks is probably going to be the names that you're going to see plugged into 24 more and more.
All right, one more question from Twitter. Mr. Tavor 87 wants to know the possibility of Reggie McKenzie flipping the 24th pick for additional picks. Nick, what do you got?
So that sounds great in theory, and I think that would definitely be an ideal situation considering the depth of the class, like we just talked about, if they could fall back 6, 7 picks or maybe even very early into the second round, which I don't think would happen. But maybe at the very end of the first round can still get a quality player and, add another, maybe round 3 pick or something like that. But at the same time, all these teams are going to know that this class is deep. And I think everyone's going to be more than, content to just sit and wait for them to, get to go on the clock and not feel the need to jump up and go get that one player that's available. So I don't see any trade happening.
All right. The inverse of that, if there's a certain player that falls out of the top 10, is there anyone that you would want Reggie McKenzie to trade up to get? Ryan, who do you got?
I think I imagine 98% of Raiders Twitter is probably going to be jumping and screaming for Reuben Foster, and for the most part, rightfully so, phenomenal player. For me, I, as good as he is, it kind of goes back to what Nick was saying earlier. I mean, this class, man, is really, really good. Maybe not so strong at the linebacker position, which makes you maybe would want to make you jump up for a player like Reuben Foster. But for me, man, I'm perfectly content staying put at 24 and just letting the board fall however it may. If I had to pick a name that fell out of the top 10 that I jumped before, I guess it would be, you know, Rube. But again, there's really no one that I'm really, you know, willing to risk a one and a future one, wherever the case may be.
Nick, you got anybody that you'd like to slip out of the top 10 there?
I really just want to probably give a plug to JBB's own friend of the podcast, guy we've had on in the past, Mr. Ted Nguyen at Raiders Analysis. He is he's all aboard. I know trading up for Reuben Foster, if let's say he falls out of the top 10 or top 12, something like that, he's very, very high on Reuben Foster. Myself, I wouldn't give up, you know, a future one or a future two for a guy that doesn't play a premium position like that. You know, as much as I love Reuben, you know, maybe one other name to consider would be Marshon Lattimore, who I think is probably a top three player in the class if he has a Laremy Tunsil incident, falls out of the top 10 or whatever, you know, maybe. But
Tunsil, man.
Yeah. I would say no. No trade up, no trade down. Let's sit pretty at 24 and see what happens.
All right, we've talked a little bit about Latavius Murray's potential replacements. Are there any late round gems that you see at the running back position, Ryan?
Man, the class is stocked in general, man. Running backs especially. I recently profiled one of my favorite, you know. For me, a player I'm probably taking late two, early three, but I can maybe see him slip in depending how he tests to, you know, that late three, four round range. Kid Jamal Williams out of BYU. People comparing him to Latavius Murray. I don't think he's that kind of athlete, but he certainly runs a hell of a lot better, a lot more useful in the open field. Really, really good feet. A personal favorite of mine who I'm really high on that I would take early, but I don't think he's going to go early. Samaje Perine. I think he'll go around that same range, that 3 to 4th round range. I also wrote up Alvin Kamara, who again is a first round type player for me. I know the league, he's kind of polarizing. I think a lot of people are either super high on him like I am, or he's just kind of a change of pace guy and probably is going to go again around that fourth round range or so. So if he slips out of those three names, I'd be perfectly content with any of them. There's also, you know, Kareem Hunt out of Toledo, who I know everyone's kind of buzzing about and rightfully so. So tons of options for Oakland in that regard.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt is a guy I really like a lot, but I think he's going to be probably too early for McKenzie's taste with running backs. I mean, we've seen Latavius get picked up in the 6th, DeAndre Washington get selected in the 5th, Jalen Richard is an undrafted free agent. So I think, you know, maybe 5th round or later, that's kind of the range that Raiders fans should be focusing on with these running backs. And there's definitely going to be a few to consider in that range if, you know, most of these names that we just went over or that Ryan went over aren't going to be available. Still some guys out there. Marlon Mack out of South Florida, a lot of analysts have him slated, you know, in the 4th or 5th round. Aaron Jones from UTEP, a lot of people have him slated maybe in the 5th or even the 6th. Yes. So a few guys like that, I think, are the ones that we probably should be focused on as Raiders fans, because that's probably where McKenzie's going to end up taking, you know, another back, assuming Latavius does walk.
All right, let's do a quick 3-round mock draft. Each of you has 10 seconds on each round. Nick, you're on the clock.
All right, first round, I will go with, I'm taking the talent, best talent on the board, Malik McDowell, defensive tackle, Michigan Ooh. State. I think he's maybe has a little bit of off-field issues, potentially nothing, more attitude, I think, more attitude related, which could be something that, you know, is said for Mario Edwards Jr. A couple seasons back. So I think if we get a player of his talent, he's immensely talented. Get him with Jethro, get him on the right track, I think he could be a special player. So that's where I'm going. Ryan, you're up.
I can dig it. So I'm going another round one pick, or I'm going to go round two now?
Round one.
round one. Man, I plugged them earlier, man. I'm going to keep talking about them, man. Give me Christian McCaffrey all day long.
All right.
Round two. Nick, go.
Round two is real tough. I'm going to hope that Eddie Jackson, the Bama safety, is there in round two. Someone that was a five-star blue chip, highly regarded. A lot of people thought he'd be a first-round lock when he came to Bama. Dealt with some injuries, kind of is being slept on now as a result. I definitely think he can get back to living up to that potential and be the safety of the future alongside Carl. So that's where I'm going.
I'm curious to see if I talked about him earlier. I'm curious to see if a player like Jaleel Johnson slips to the second round. Again, a first round top 20-25 player for me, but I know a lot of people again at the moment seem kind of split on him. So between Jaleel Johnson, again, I think Caleb Brantley's gone way before the second. So I think I'm looking if Jaleel Johnson's there. Absolute no-brainer for me. If not, I'm looking best cornerback. So if I got to pick a realistic name, that's probably there. I'm gonna say Cordrea Tankersley, cornerback out of Clemson. So I got my running back.
That's a name.
You like that name, man?
All right, Nick. Round three.
I'm gonna go. I want to grab a linebacker. I mean, we desperately need help there. I think maybe Kendall Beckwith from LSU could be a guy who's one of the better players left on the board. I think Ted Raiders Analysis was doing some stuff on him last couple of days. You know, maybe someone who can solve these linebacker and these coverage woes. So that's where I'm going.
Round three. I think my favorite round three option, I would probably, again, assuming a player like Reggie Nelson walks, I really like the kid, Tedrick Thompson, free safety out of Colorado. I haven't seen enough of him, but early on, I was really high on him. And then again, I just haven't circled back around on him. But Marcus Williams, safety out of Utah.
I'm big on him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are expecting him to test really well too this weekend. So for me, I would love to go cornerback. I would even be cool doubling up on a cornerback, you know, someone like Jordan Lewis who might slip a little bit due to his size. Again, I'd probably gone in the second. But for my official pick, I'll go with Tedrick Thompson, free safety out of Colorado.
All right. Those are two pretty solid three-round drafts. I would actually go with both of those. They're pretty nice. I said that we didn't have any more Twitter questions. I lied. We have one more from Omar Mendez 94. He wants to know why he cries himself to sleep at night.
Is that it? Is that the end of the question?
Yeah, that's the question. Probably because he's a Raiders fan. So, exactly, and that'll do it.
That'll do it.
That's it, man.
All right, man.
Good question.
That'll do it for this week's episode of the Jess Blog Baby podcast. Follow us along on Twitter at Jess Blog Baby. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, but not Spotify.
Do not subscribe
to us on Spotify.
We don't have none of that.
You will be disappointed. real quick, I guess, moving forward, I think we're going to try to gear back up into the podcast with the combine happening this week, the draft coming up, hopefully once per week, maybe occasionally if schedule's permitting, try to sneak in a second episode per week here and there, because we got a lot of guests that we want to try to have on before the draft and even immediately following the draft for some analysis. I think now's probably a good time to announce maybe our next podcast guest. I think next Tuesday we're going to have Ryan, your boy.
EB.
Eddie Borsilli from SiriusXM, one of the more popular guys on Raiders Twitter. He's going to be joining us, I think, on the 7th when we record. And then we're going to have Malik Obi, JBB staff writer Malik, as well sometime around then, because he's actually going to be at the combine as Eddie.
That's what's up.
So yeah, we're going to try to get the scoop from the from those dudes, trying to find out, you know, who the Raider scouts are talking to and whatnot, see what we can get from those guys. So yeah, a lot to come in future episodes. A lot of draft talk to get to. Got to dive in on these rankings and the deeper rounds and whatnot. So stay tuned, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Dylan,
I'm
not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it.
Okay.
Just just cut it right now. Just cut it right now. Just cut it.
Peace.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening.